Boom! 200,000 downloads. Here we go. I'm pretty sure this hasn't happened in Wyoming before. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another incredible installment from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. The date is December 3rd of 2020. It's late on a Thursday evening, and I, your would-be illustrious host, am absolutely bored out of my mind. As it has been for the past few weeks, the muted television is going on and on about an election that didn't exactly come up to specs. Yeah. I'm well aware that COVID changed everything, or so they said. I pick up a book, Rush Limbaugh's See, I Told You So, and open the cover. I just picked it up at a garage sale. Yeah, a garage sale in the middle of winter the previous weekend. So I flipped the first page, and it felt like it weighed 1,000 pounds. Not that I wasn't excited to read it. I love that book. I'd read it several years before. It was a treasure. One of those things that you find on somebody's table in a garage that they're willing to sell for a couple of bucks. Unfortunately, it was all for naught. Evidently, my evening ennui that night was not going to permit me to pass the time reading. I tossed the book on the other end of the couch, and as my arm returned to its resting position, it grazed the top of the tablet still sitting at my left side. As its screen lit up, I remembered a conversation I had had a few days prior with a friend. We had been discussing this thing called podcasts. I, myself, had never listened to one in my entire life, though they seemed to be very popular since just about everybody that I ran into was listening to this podcast or that podcast, whatever that was. So in my boredom, I picked up the tablet and tapped into Google, "What is a podcast?" As it turns out, life is not without a sense of irony, as I would soon find out. So for the next couple of hours, I scrolled and flipped from page to page, website to website, trying to discover what exactly a podcast was. And then it hit me, slightly less jarring than a bolt of lightning, the name, Cowboy State Politics. It would be a podcast in the style of a radio show. I would have guests on and talk about current political topics, with one principle above all. The very thing that annoyed me about every single media source that I came into contact with, whether it be from the state of Wyoming or from national news, they lie. Either through omission or mischaracterization or boldface not telling the truth, I would do something different. The truth. Period. Unafraid, unabashed, truth. Needless to say, if I thought boredom was keeping me awake before, now my excitement had reached peak levels, and there was no way that I was going to be able to sleep. And so, the very next thing I Googled was, how does one start a podcast? The next day, after purchasing a crappy video game headset that just so happened to have a microphone attached to it, I published the very first episode of Cowboy State Politics. Looking back now, all I can say is, it's terrible, it's rough, and it's hardly fit to listen to. Though I'm sure many of my fans in Trotsky's quotation marks, would say the very same thing about this morning's broadcast. I hate to break it to you, but nobody is really listening to you if you're in your underwear in your mother's basement typing away at a computer. But I digress. December 3rd of 2020 was a little bit less than 3 years ago, and since that time, Cowboy State Politics, as of Monday, has amassed 200,000 downloads. Boom. I've tried to figure it out, my friends, and I am pretty sure that that has never happened before in this state. All I can say, my friends, is thank you very much for listening, thank you for your trust, and thank you for being a very, very valuable part of Cowboy State Politics. Enough self-aggrandizement, on with the program. Before we get to our conversation with United States Representative Harriet Hegeman, it would appear that pornography books are not the worst thing in your library, at least in Carbon County. As it turns out, there's pornography being made in a library. Or at least it was, until that guy got fired. Gee, nobody saw that one coming. And then shockingly, very, very soon after, he got hired as a writer for the Saratoga Sun, a newspaper. You know, one of those things that's supposed to report on all of the happenings in government in a community. Yeah, they hired him. But that's not even anywhere close to being the worst part about this whole story. Now, this entire story was made public by our pal Joey Correnti on his new podcast, Just Blame Joey. And a side note, and in a perplexing turn of events, a lot of people in Carbon County are blaming Joey Correnti, as if he was the guy that made porn in a library, got fired, got hired by the Saratoga Sun, and that paper covered it all up, so really nobody ever knew what happened to the branch manager of the Carbon County Library in Rollins. By covered it up, of course I mean didn't report on it. See, that's a usual trick for the Wyoming media. They just don't report on something and hope that you don't notice. Therefore, it never happened if the paper never reported it. Right. Until Joey started digging around in court records. The guy's name is Joshua Wood. God, I can hardly say that with a straight face. In 2018, he pled guilty to promoting obscenity. Now, originally, he was charged with indecent exposure, but that charge was pled down to the promoting obscenity. If the sheriff's report wasn't so sick, it would be laughable. Leaving out the gory details, here's what happened. Sometime in 2017, while Joshua Wood was the branch manager at the Rollins Public Library, he took pictures of himself exposed inside the library. If that weren't bad enough, he then posted those pictures on a fetish website. From the sheriff's report, and I quote, Mr. Mickelson is the director of the Carbon County Library System, stated that Mr. Wood had been hired as the Rollins Branch Information Specialist in July of 2016, then became the branch manager in late 2016 or early 2017. Mr. Wood had been placed on administrative leave prior to his resignation. Mr. Wood was under investigation for sexual harassment, and the photos on the website were not discovered until after he was terminated. Mr. Mickelson stated that he was unable to tell if the library was open or closed when Mr. Wood took the photos. There is one photo where Mr. Wood is wearing a gas mask and goggles on his forehead. I asked Mr. Mickelson about the photo, and he stated that Mr. Wood had worn those all day as his Halloween costume, but that they stayed in his office that day. Mr. Mickelson showed me where he believed the photos to have been taken. There were several photos that appeared to have been taken in the employee restroom, several in what was Mr. Wood's office at the time, and three that were taken within the public areas of the library where Mr. Woods is, We'll end the quotation right there by saying that Mr. Woods is, well, he was exposed. Needless to say, Josh Wood was fired shortly thereafter. I mean, it's really hard to keep a guy like that employed when you're running a library, you know, where little kids come in. Very soon after that, Woods was hired by the Saratoga Sun. Now, isn't that fascinating? A newspaper who supposedly is supposed to be reporting on the events of a community hires a guy that was just released by the public library for indecent exposure, promoting obscenity, and they never reported on it. Now, it's possible they never knew, but I can't imagine how that would happen. Come on. I mean, it's small town Wyoming, so even the most mundane details that happen at various public meetings become big-time small-town news. It wasn't that long ago that I published two stories on the public library over in Fremont County. So I find it very hard to believe that the newspaper didn't know what happened with Mr. Wood. I think I'll just call this guy Woody for the rest of the program. Before I go any further on this, let me just say that I don't believe in cancel culture. I don't really think that something that somebody said 10 or 15 years ago on social media has all that much relevance today. But in this situation, we're not talking about an off-color comment or a puerile joke. We're talking about what somebody did intentionally on public property at their job while they held a position of trust in a community. In a building that children come in and out of every single day. Really, the only reason why Woody doesn't have to put his name on a list is because his charge was pled down to promoting obscenity. That's the only reason. Barring that, he'd have to put his name on a list for the rest of his life. So we're not talking about a small incident where nobody got harmed. And you add in that he posted these pictures on a fetish website? Holy cow. The Saratoga Sun is owned by Stevenson Newspapers. Stevenson owns about 15 different newspapers across the state. It's a big company in Wyoming. And you could say that, well, why didn't they run a background check on this guy before they hired him? Well, here's the thing. Woody was hired by Stevenson Newspapers before the final disposition of his case. So basically, he hadn't even gone to court yet. When he got hired, he hadn't even been interviewed by law enforcement. And so the only thing that Stevenson Newspapers knew at the time was that he had quit or resigned or got fired. You know how these government jobs work. Quit before you're fired, that sort of thing. So that's the only thing that they knew, that he wasn't employed at the library anymore. Before this whole story broke, I sat down with our pal Joey and just discussed this entire story. There's a lot more to it. Here's a little piece of our conversation.
But I live in a town called Saratoga, and we have a paper there that is owned by Stevenson Newspaper called Saratoga Sun. And I heard some stories about the guy at the time was the editor, who is now the director of Stevenson Newspapers. And none of the stories lined up exactly with each other, so I said, go to the source. So I went to the courthouse, pulled some documents, went to the sheriff's office, asked for some reports. And it turns out if you think that the current Wyoming argument about the most offensive material that's being argued over in the libraries is some of the books that might be in the kids section, you are out of your frickin' mind. Because I have in my hand right now the narrative of the police or the sheriff's report in Carbon County stating that the current director of Stevenson's newspaper, before he was hired on at Stevenson's newspaper, was the director of the Carbon County Library in Rawlins, the Rawlins branch specifically. And he was on suspension from that job, being investigated for sexual harassment, while he was caught and then eventually charged, prosecuted, and pled guilty to promoting public indecency within the library. And you can't make this stuff up. I'm reading the document, and it says he wasn't reading pornography or offensive material. He was creating pornography. He took pictures and then posted them on the internet to a fetish sex website. And he got caught. Now, granted, the way things sometimes go, especially when you work for the government, he was allowed to resign before he was fired. But he immediately went to go work for Stevenson Newspaper at the Saratoga Sun after he had already faced being confronted with this on the work level, but before being confronted with it as a criminal issue. He had not been interviewed by the police. The county attorney had not preferred charges yet. So he went to go work for the newspaper. So he was already working for the newspaper, the Saratoga Sun of Stevenson's Newspapers, by the time he found out he was under investigation for criminal charges, and then was charged, and then pled guilty. And you never heard about it in the paper, although this individual claims to be an unbiased journalist with the utmost integrity who wants to make sure that the public has all the information they need to make the choices and the community deserves to hear. And believe me, if and when I ever did anything including running for office, and never had done anything wrong criminally. This guy had an opinion. He made sure it went in the paper, but he would not do the thing I started my show with, which was turn that microscope of scrutiny on myself and admit to everybody there's flaws within this man, but I'm still going to bring you the truth. So carry on a few years. This guy never says anything. It never makes the paper. And he's promoted to editor, and now he's running the newspaper, and he's printed a myriad of stories over the years that have claimed his love for honesty and exposés and hard-hitting journalism that bring the truth to the people, but again, would never admit or publish the story about the things that he had done himself.
It's absolutely true that everybody makes mistakes. But not everybody makes the big, gigantic ones like taking pictures of yourself inside. Well, never mind. We won't go there again. But here's the point in this segment. This guy knew exactly what he was doing. He did it. He got caught, then gets hired by a newspaper and starts writing articles about transparency and hard-hitting journalism. If you go through the website of the Saratoga Sun, you'll find numerous editorials written by Woody talking about free speech, talking about integrity of journalism, and shockingly enough, about how libraries are supposed to be a safe place for children to learn. Before I give you the rest of this, let's take a quick break. We'll get back to Woody's exploits in a minute, but first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe a giant roping arena so you can do all of that fun rodeo stuff when the snow is flying, or perhaps you even need a warehouse for your business, the two guys you should talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are absolutely the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job. So it doesn't matter what type of building you've been thinking about for your property, just call Nick and Jesse. Give them the broad strokes, and they'll handle all the details. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Hunting season is just around the corner. In fact, I'm deep into planning my next hunting exploits. Don't get too excited. I'm not the guy that goes tromping through the woods for hours on end, because I don't like to be cold. So while I am hanging out outside the cabin, I make sure that my feet are well taken care of. And the best way that you can do that is to get a pair of socks from the Buffalo Wool Company. I'm telling you, my friends, I've tried just about every type of wool socks, and the ones from the Buffalo Wool Company are by far the best. Frankly, you have to try them out to believe it. They're absolutely incredible. They're the softest socks that you're going to put on your feet, and they'll keep you super, super warm. So to get you a pair, go to their website, thebuffalowoolco.com. Trust me, you're not going to be disappointed. It's Wednesday, my friends, and you know what that means, don't you? Gun of the Week time from Gunrunner Auctions. If you've ever wanted to be like James Bond, well, now's your chance. It's lot number 206. It's a Walther PPK 380. Iverson. David Iverson. Nope, still doesn't have the same ring to it. Anyway, lot number 206. This Walther is in excellent condition. It's got a 3 1/4 inch barrel, and it's got an excellent bore with fixed 2-dot sights. The finish is 99%, and it doesn't look like it's been used very much. So, if you want to be like James Bond, go to Gunrunner Auctions, look up lot number 206, and place a bid for it. That's GunrunnerAuctions.com. Now make sure you don't forget about the Chad Prather Show that's happening on Friday at the Beacon Club in Casper. It just so happens I have a ticket to give away. Now, the way that you can win it is you've got to post on Facebook that you want to go to the show, and you need to tag at Aaron Nabb. And then somewhere in the post, put Wyoming first. The first post that he sees like that, he's going to give you a ticket. So if you want to go see Chad Prather, and I'm telling you, he's a funny, funny guy. But if you want to go see him, post on Facebook that you want to go to the show, tag Aaron Nabb, and somewhere in the post, write Wyoming First. Good luck. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson, behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone. Documented to be almost always right, 98.82% of the time. Considering that I just hit the 200,000 download mark, I better take another look at those numbers. I bet they've gone up a little bit. Anyhow, where we left off with Woody is he's now the editor of the Saratoga Sun. It's not all that surprising that his criminal exploits did not make the paper. When you're the guy on the inside, it's pretty easy to manipulate the data. And frankly, my friends, one of the astonishing things about this story is that given everything that he did, he was caught, he was prosecuted, he pled guilty, and then he continues to write articles about how libraries have to be a safe place for children. It's absolutely amazing. Here's another piece from Joey's story.
This has never been exposed. The only thing that's been exposed is what he posted on the internet of what he took in the library. But the story should have been told, especially because a member of the media knew about it as it was happening. So I'm talking about what they call journalistic integrity here. And here it is years later. This all happened back in 2018. Is still writing op-eds. And seems to think everything's okay, because not only can he write about libraries, but he can write about libraries and almost like a perfect murder that, you know, the guy that got away with it has headlines with quotes that say a truly great library contains something in it to offend everybody, knowing your own criminal history that you've never admitted publicly.
The piece that Joey's referring to is an opinion article written by Woody on August 17th of this year. Wait until you get a load of this. And I quote, "If the library is truly a symbol of democracy, then it must be there for the service of the community. For a public library, you know, the one that he took his pictures in, this includes the homeschooling mother, the high school graduate using the computer to look for a job, or the retired man who likes to visit with people. For a school library, maybe it's the young adult who has questions he's afraid to ask, the advanced reader who needs to keep his mind active, or the student just learning how to handle chapter books. A library, above all, here's the important part of this one, should be a safe space that is welcoming, allows the free exchange of ideas, and challenges worldviews. It can't do that if every book which people disagree with or dislike is removed." End quote. What about library employees that people might disagree with? Wow. Getting fired from the library for taking dirty pictures of yourself and then posting them on the internet, then going to work at the newspaper, and you start writing sanctimonious editorials about how libraries are supposed to be a safe place. They're certainly not a safe place when you're around, Woody. But this story gets far worse, my friends. Not only does he hold a high position at Stevenson Newspapers, who own around 15 newspapers in the state of Wyoming, and who clearly has no respect for the safe places that he writes about, the public library, because he's the one that made them not a safe place. Joshua Wood is, drumroll please, the vice chairman of the Wyoming Press Association. As our pal Joey pointed out, they have, at the very top of their website, the following, and I quote, "Across the country, quality journalism is critical for sharing important news affecting our society. Through their timely reporting, journalists, like Josh Wood, play a uniquely critical role in informing, engaging, and empowering citizens. Without the dedicated work of journalists, corruption, like Josh Wood, would remain undiscovered and unchecked, like Josh Wood. As crucial watchdogs, journalists are often the only stewards keeping a close eye on local institutions, governments, and businesses, except when Josh Wood is around." End quote. My editorial comments accepted, of course. Frankly, my friends, if you want to know why the Wyoming media is so corrupt and is not looking out for your best interests, you need look no further than the Wyoming Press Association. One of the guys they have at the top is the same one who took dirty pictures of himself in a public library, the building that numerous children come in and out of every single day, and then took those dirty pictures and posted them on the internet, got hired at the newspaper, so presumably he could control the story, and is now helping lead the Wyoming Press Association. This is all you need to know about the press in Wyoming. Now, I want to be fair about this. Not all press are members of the Wyoming Press Association. One of my favorite targets, like every episode, is the Cowboy State Daily. They are not a member of the Wyoming Press Association. Neither is any of the news sources that are strictly digital in the state of Wyoming. To be a member of the WPA, you have to print a newspaper. The Cowboy State Daily doesn't do that. However, and I did reach out to the Cowboy State Daily this morning to ask for a comment, Woody also worked for them for about a month. But that's it. I have no idea if they looked into his criminal history like all of the other places that employed Joshua Wood should have. But I can tell you this, it was pretty easy for our pal Joey to walk into the courthouse in Carbon County and request some court documents. It was just as easy to go into the sheriff's department and get that report, which, by the way, both of those documents are available at cowboystatepolitics.com. I'll warn you, the sheriff's report, well, it's pretty detailed. The takeaway from all of this is that there are very, very few investigative journalists, real investigative journalists in the state of Wyoming, none of whom seem to be members of the Wyoming Press Association or Stevenson newspapers. The guy that helps lead the press association, Woody, is the very reason why you shouldn't trust the press in the state of Wyoming, and certainly not the Wyoming Press Association. I'll keep you updated on anything that comes of this story, and make sure that you listen to Joey's podcast. It's called Just Blame Joey. You can go to the website. I believe it's justblamejoey.com, or you can look him up on Podbean. This story is way more detailed in his two episodes, so if you want more information, go check it out there. Moving on. The other day, I had a chance to visit with United States Representative Harriet Hageman. She's got a lot to say about her new energy bill, about Biden, the other Biden, and the Biden impeachment inquiry. It's a fascinating discussion. Here it is.
Joining me on the phone is our Congresswoman, Harriet Hageman. Harriet, how are you today?
I am wonderful, David. It's fantastic to be back on your program. I've missed having an opportunity to talk with you.
Well, it's been a long time. I missed visiting with you, too. But you've been pretty busy lately.
We have been busy. And I'm excited to report to your listeners what we've been doing, some of the more interesting aspects of the job.
Well, you've got a new energy bill that's being introduced in the House concerning energy poverty. Why don't you tell us about that?
All right. Well, you've probably heard me say at many times as I was campaigning and then since I've been elected, that I think that there is a special place in hell for people who adopt policies that are intended to increase the cost of food, housing, and energy. And as I've had an opportunity to question various Biden officials, such as Deb Haaland with Department of Interior or the head of the BLM, as I've had an opportunity to visit with these people, and they often talk about environmental equity. And I always ask them, well, how does that relate to energy poverty? And most of them are not able to answer that question. So I introduced a bill with Senator Sullivan, and it's called the Energy Poverty Prevention and Accountability Act. And really the purpose of this is to try to force the federal government, force our federal agencies to actually disclose the cost of these various policies and rules and regulations that are putting in place. Right now, they tend to hide. Tracy Stone Manning with BLM is who I was referring to, but these agencies try to hide the real cost of converting to their so-called green energy, wind and solar. And so the purpose of this bill is to expose what these costs are so that people truly understand why we have such incredible inflationary pressures, why our gas at the pump is so much more expensive, why our food has become so much more expensive, why we have a housing crisis in this country right now. So really, it is a transparency bill and an accountability bill so that people are actually informed as to what these policies do to them personally and financially.
Well, and it's not just direct costs. You know, a lot of these policies, I mean, they put in place costs that consumers really don't even see. And then a lot of the times we're hit a second time because, you know, of course, companies don't pay taxes and they don't pay fees. They pass those right on through to consumers. And so, you know, it's the end consumer, the person back here in Mills, Wyoming, that gets hit with these electricity rates or you know, natural gas or the price they have to pay to pay the power company to heat their home. I mean, it's like you said, it truly is an evil practice.
Well, and all of these costs ricochet through the system, which is what you're saying. So when you increase the cost of energy by one unit, you're increasing the cost of everything else by one unit. So you're increasing the cost of shoes, you're increasing the cost of cantaloupe, you're increasing the cost of what it takes to transport lumber to be able to sell to build homes. So every single thing, if there's one incredibly regressive tax, it is a tax associated with policies that increase the cost of energy, because every single thing else then increases in cost. I refer to this as government imposed wretchedness. And that's where we are in this country right now. We have got a policy, policies that are coming directly out of the White House and so many of the agencies here in Washington, D.C., that their policy is to increase the cost of one of the most foundational things that we need to have a civilized society. And that makes no sense to me.
Well, there's another component to this also. It's not just affecting everybody here at home with our electricity rates and the price of energy. It affects countries overseas. The policies that are being put in place are enriching countries like Iran and Russia and China.
Venezuela. That's exactly right. So one of the questions that I'm constantly asking, and I think we're going to get to this, but we have the issue of the impeachment inquiry that is going to be coming to the forefront in three of our committees, including the Judiciary Committee, which I'm on. But one of the points that I make about Joe Biden and his son's of involvement with the Chinese Communist Party and with Ukraine and with Kazakhstan and with Romania is, to what extent is our foreign policy being dictated by Hunter Biden's relationship with malign actors around the world? And I'm going to give you two very clear examples of what I mean by that. One of them, as you know, is that Biden, in his effort to try to keep oil prices down and the prices at the pump down, all of which have failed in light of the fact that we're paying $3.50 to $4 a gallon. But one of the things he tried early in his administration was to raid the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. Well, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve was created and started filling in the 1980s. It takes over 9 years to fill our SPR. It has been drawn down now well over 40% because of Joe Biden raiding that resource that is not supposed to be used for this, but his raiding of that resource. And what we've found out is that he's been selling our SPR oil to China. Now, why would you sell an asset like that to the Chinese Communist Party? But that's exactly what he's done. But what does China have on Hunter Biden? Or what kind of arrangements did Hunter Biden make with China when he was flying over there and meeting with them on Air Force Two? So all of these things are interconnected. So yes, this has a worldwide impact. Under President Trump, for the first time in 60 years, the United States was energy independent. We were exporting more oil than we were producing because we were producing so much oil and gas right here in this country. Right now, we are a net importer because of his failed policies. So again, it touches everything from how much the food on your table costs to whether we are subject to being controlled by the Chinese Communist Party because of Joe Biden's and Hunter Biden's activities in China.
Well, and I think too, and this perhaps this is a a tangential point on what we're talking about, but people in Wyoming are seeing the results of these actions directly from power companies. I mean, right now, Rocky Mountain Power is asking for a 30%.
30%.
Yeah. And I mean, oh my God. So if you argue that these two things are not connected, I mean, frankly, you don't know what you're talking about because they absolutely are. You mentioned the Biden impeachment, and I know that I read an article that said all three of you guys in D.C. are on board. Can you please tell me why? Why do we need to impeach President Biden, as if I don't already know the answer?
Well, this is an impeachment inquiry. And so we're going to, what it does is it gives us additional authority to be able to force these federal agencies, the DOJ, the Department, the FBI, the White House itself. It gives us, us being the House and the committees, Judiciary, Ways and Means, and Oversight, it gives us additional leverage to force them to produce documents that we need that will show the connection between Joe Biden and Hunter Biden's overseas activities. It will also show that Joe Biden and his White House has directly interfered. I believe it will show that Joe Biden and his and the White House has directly interfered with both IRS investigations and efforts to hold Hunter Biden accountable and have interfered with the Department of Justice investigations. The recent appointment of Weiss as a special counsel, I think, tells everybody everything that they need to know, that the fix is in, that this is a cover-up, that there, even his indictment against Hunter Biden on the gun charges is a deflection and an effort to get everybody to look the other way rather than understanding the relationship between Hunter, Joe Biden, Ukraine, again, the Chinese Communist Party, Romania, and other malign actors. So we are pursuing an investigation, an inquiry. It will give us additional subpoena power. And what we need to do is, again, it is so critically important that we understand whether our foreign policy is being dictated by actors outside of the United States, and frankly, in ways that are contrary to the very well-being and security of our country.
Now, I watched an interview, I think it was with Jim Jordan. He was talking about a number of whistleblowers that have come forward, touching a lot of these different issues. But it seems to us that these whistleblowers have pretty much gone silent. Is that the case, or have they been providing, you know, valuable information to the House investigations?
Well, they provided an enormous amount of information, David, and most specifically, I mean, whoever would have thought that you would have IRS agents coming forward and saying the fix was in? They were told, and they have testified to the fact that they were told as they did investigations, as they were investigating Hunter Biden, any of the trails that started leading specifically and directly towards Joe Biden, they were shut down. They were told you cannot pursue those. You are not allowed to continue that investigation. Keep in mind, with just one of the paychecks that Hunter Biden received, he received $1 million from Burisma. Now, the point I keep making to people is that Hunter Biden had no skill set to sell. He was not an expert on Ukrainian employment law. He was not an expert on drafting complicated oil and gas contracts between foreign countries. He didn't even know the language. I mean, this person has admitted that from 2003 to 2019, he had a raging crack addiction. He brought no skill set to the game. Nobody from Burisma or the Chinese Communist Party would have said, you know what, I'm going to send my headhunter out and I'm looking for a guy like Hunter Biden. He isn't who you would have looked for any of these positions. He had one product to sell, and that was his dad. And everybody knows that. And then they created 20 sham companies, over 20 sham companies, LLCs here in the United States, where all the money that they're raking in, over $20 million that they're raking in from these foreign governments, they're pouring it into one LLC, and then that LLC is pouring it into another LLC, and then it's going to another LLC. And there are almost a dozen Bidens that were being paid off out of these LLCs. What services were they providing to get a paycheck from, you know, Biden R Us, Foreign Policy Company, or whatever the name of the LLC was? What skills were they providing? It was none. This was a money laundering scheme. And it continued after Joe Biden was elected as president. He has used his position as president to continue the cover up. So what people just need to understand is that there is a lot of evidence. We will be bringing in the whistleblowers. I don't think that they've gone quiet as much as they've given us the information that they have. We now need to follow the trails that they have laid out and force the federal agencies and the White House to give us the documentation so that we can look at it ourselves.
You know, at the time that Joe Biden was speaking to the, I think it was the Council on Foreign Relations, and he said, you know, I told them they're not getting $1 billion. You know, we've all heard that soundbite. At the time, I didn't, you know, it sounded totally crooked to me, but I didn't realize the depth of the corruption there until I started looking into what was President Obama's policy. Obama's policy towards Ukraine. And the truth is, they all said Ukraine was doing great and they loved this prosecutor. And then all of a sudden, Joe Biden shows up in Ukraine and says, you got to fire the guy.
So that's one of the things that's been interesting as these investigations have proceeded. During the campaign in 2020, what did Joe Biden say? I've never talked to my son or my brother. I don't even know who they ever visited with. I've had nothing to do with me, lying to the American public, lying to the American public. We have over 14 trips that Hunter Biden took with Joe Biden on Air Force Two to meet with people in these countries that he was going to. So you're exactly right. And now where are they? Well, he wasn't in business with his son, Hunter. That wasn't what they previously said. He knew what Hunter Biden was doing. He knew what the asset was that Hunter Biden was selling. And the fact is, they got what they needed. And they needed that prosecutor fired. And Joe Biden got that prosecutor fired. But here's one other thing that I think is so important to bring out about that. This is how our foreign policy has become so corrupted. Why in the world are we going into a country like the Ukraine and dictating what investigations they can do with corrupt oil and gas companies or whatever it is? My point being, this is how our political leaders force countries to do what they want them to do. All of this is corrupt. We talk about the Russians, that they interfered in our 2020 election or our 2016 election. First of all, it's hogwash. And again, it's a deflection. But talk about all the times that we interfere in other countries' elections. Why are we doing those kinds of things? And this goes to show, when you give somebody like Joe Biden that kind of power, this is the level of corruption you're going to have.
Well, I mean, he's made a career out of it. You know, I mean, we're talking about a guy that has million-dollar homes and several of them, but he's never, ever had any other job other than being a politician. And I'm pretty sure you're not able to buy million-dollar homes on the salary of, you know, a United States congressman. Well, you know, you might be able to after a while, but certainly not to the level that he has.
No, and David, that's exactly right. And one of the I give a speech, and I talk about different inflection points that change the course of our history, of the history of the United States. And one of them I talk about is the election of Bill Clinton and then bringing along his wife Hillary into that mess. But the reason why Bill Clinton's election was so significant was he's the one who monetized the White House. And what I say is that if the children of Ronald Reagan or Richard Nixon or Gerald Ford or Jimmy Carter walked in my door right now, I would not know who they are. I don't know that you could recognize, and some of them were quite famous at one time. Yet under the Clintons, everybody knows who Chelsea Clinton is. Everybody knows who Hunter Biden is. Everybody knows who the Obama daughters were. What the Clintons did is they monetized the White House, and they found a way to personally enrich themselves to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars simply because he at one point was a politician. Well, Joe Biden looked at that business model. He and his wife looked at that business model. His kids and his brother and sister, they looked at that business model and they said, sign me up. And that's why I say you cannot give somebody like Joe Biden the authority to withhold $1 billion of my money and your money and the taxpayers' money so that his son can get a $1 million paycheck from a company like Burisma. That's where the corruption has become so extreme. And it's why this inquiry is so incredibly important. This impeachment inquiry, the American people deserve to know what their political leaders have been doing and are doing so that we can find a way to stop it. You cannot survive as a country when you have this kind of dysfunction and corruption at the top. Yet that's where we are.
There's a perception that impeachments have become, I mean, they at their heart, they really are a political event. I mean, it's a political maneuver to remove a public official. But there's a perception that now impeachments are used for political ideology, that you can't win your political argument the right way, and so let's just get rid of them. So my question, Harriet, is what is the difference between this impeachment investigation or this inquiry and what was done with President Trump?
Because this one actually goes to the very issue or the very purpose for which you would have an impeachment inquiry and eventually potentially an impeachment and a conviction. We're looking at the very standard of impeachment and saying, did the actions of Joe Biden rise to this level? Is this someone that we can allow to retain his position as president of the United States and leader of the free world when he has engaged in this behavior? When they impeached Donald Trump over the call to the Ukraine, the one thing that always struck me about all of that was I never, ever, 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 and still to this day, do not understand what he allegedly did wrong. I could not understand how they were saying that he had committed high crimes and misdemeanors by saying, hey, look, can you find out what kind of corruption has been going on in your country by someone who held a very high political office in the United States? I would assume 99% of my fellow Americans would want to know if the vice president of the United States had engaged in conduct that was illegal, that was benefiting his family members, that was contrary to policy, that was creating the situation like we now have in the Ukraine. Every one of us would have wanted to know that. So what I never understood about the impeachment from the get-go is, what did he possibly do wrong? Yet over the last 10 minutes, I have laid out for you the information we have been able to uncover about Joe Biden, about Hunter Biden, and about their activities while he was vice president and president. Keep that in mind, not just when he was vice president, but as president, he has used the full weight and power of the federal government to shield his son from being held accountable. All of that money that Hunter Biden received from like Burisma and Chinese Communist Party, do you realize he never paid taxes on any of that?
Oh, none of it.
Those are the charges that Weiss allowed the statute of limitations to expire on. This is a guy who's gone to foreign countries, engaged in serious corrupt activities, received millions of dollars in compensation to get access to his dad, who was one of our elected leaders, and then turned around and never paid one dime in taxes. And we have a government that has been covering that up. That is why This isn't political. This is critical to the future of our country and whether we are going to remain a just and moral place and a just and moral people. And we can talk about the rule of law and equal protection, and we can talk about everybody. There is no one who is above the law. We can't say those things if we do not investigate. And once we find the evidence that I believe is out there, as we've already seen much of it, if we do not move forward with impeaching someone who's been so willing to compromise the best interests of this country in order to enrich his own family.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more on that one. So one more question. I know you're a busy lady, but you're also an attorney. So what's your take on all of the charges against former President Trump? What do you think is going to happen? What's your view on it?
I think that these people, again, to use the word, are so terribly corrupt in their. So every time there's something that comes out about Hunter Biden, you see a new indictment against Donald Trump. Some of these charges are so completely outlandish, like what you see in New York, for one. And then you go down and the charges in Georgia, again, they're relying upon a quote of what he said in order to bring charges. So they're not even relying on his words. They're relying on their misinterpretation of his words to bring charges. This is, again, why I say this impeachment inquiry is so critically important, because we've got to expose the corruption if we're going to stop it.
I look at what's going on, and, well, I'll just tell you, the last 2 days, I've been giving talks on the Constitution. Yesterday, I talked to a group of high school students, and we just talked about the beginning of our country. And, you know, I was going through the Constitution, and while I didn't mention it to them, what was going through my head was, is this really true anymore? I mean, do you have a right to a fair and speedy trial of your peers? I mean, do we have an equal system of justice? And here I am telling high school students, no, this is the way that it's set up. And then, you know, I come back home to my computer and I'm like, wow, I mean, we really do have a two-tier justice system. It's absolutely blows my mind.
And the future of our country has depended on us going back to where justice is blind. Politics are not a part of this. We actually have a First Amendment to speak our mind and say what we choose to say without being filtered or censored by our government. We have the right to exercise our religion. We have the free exercise clause. We have the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures. We have the right to keep and bear arms. We have to get back to that, or we're not going to have a republic 15 years from now. And, you know, I probably shouldn't give a final date that it's 15 years. I'm not saying 15 years from now everything goes to hell in a handbasket. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is we're running out of runway, and we have got to get back to our foundation and get back to the expectation of what our forefathers had for us. We need to get back to the constitutional framework, and we've got to stop people like the Clintons and the Bidens from continuing to run for office and enrich themselves. They need to be held accountable for their corruption.
Perhaps more important than everything we've just talked about, when do you get to come home?
I will be home at the end of the month for my nephew's wedding, and then I will be there for a few short days and doing some traveling around in October. I know that I'm going to be doing the annual dinner for the Republican Party in Sheridan. I'm going to be in Cody, so I will be able to do some traveling, but I've been gone for quite some time, and I really miss Wyoming.
Well, I know you don't want to hear this, but just about everybody here loves what you're doing in Washington and thinks perhaps you need to stay there more often. I'm just kidding.
Thanks, David. Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for your time, Harriet, and let me know whenever you'd like to come back on the program.
I appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
That'll about do it for today's installment of the program. Make sure you sign up for the mailing list. Go to the website, scroll to the bottom, and there's a little form you fill out. Put your name and your email in there, and I'll add you to our weekly mailing list. Also, don't forget to follow and subscribe to the program. That way you can be notified every time there's a new episode of Cowboy State Politics. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.